broadcasting live from the Tucson Original Studios. This is KEVT Salida Tucson, the Tucson Originals, local dining at its best.
Hey, Arizona, Guy Fieri here from Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives on the Food Network. I hope you'll be listening to On the Menu Live with the madman, Matt Russell.
Welcome to On the Menu Live, the most delicious hour on radio and the hottest in culinary and cocktail talk. And now, broadcasting live from another Power Happy Hour on Power Talk 1210, here's your host, Matt Russell.
Hey, fellow foodies, welcome to the most delicious hour on radio. I am so glad you have chosen to make us part of your Saturday afternoon. We are continuing our pursuit of eating healthy in 2016. We are eating clean in 16. And that means for this Saturday, our live broadcast is from Ginza Sushi, right up on North Kolb Road, a little bit south of Sunrise, right next to Sierra Fitness. And we have just poured ourselves a lovely bomber of Kirin Light. You know, when in Rome, they say, we're going to be talking about great sushi. We're going to be talking about great sashimi. We're going to be talking about great sake. And when you're thinking about sushi and sashimi and sake, say that three times fast. All the roads today lead to Ginza Sushi. Come on down. They're actually going to be opening up a little bit early today just to accommodate our worldwide audience. So come on down and join us. Things are just getting underway. Anyway, as we do from week to week, we scan the landscape of celebrity co-hosts trying to find just the right person to occupy the coveted slot on this hour of radio, and there's a guy here in town who generally spends most of his time behind the viewfinder, but now he's in front of the viewfinder because actually we got Jim Wood, a videotaping here from James Wood Photography. There's all kinds of celebrities in the house, but our celebrity co-host today, the managing partner, executive producer, and CEO of Latier Films.
And janitor.
And janitor. Scott Latier is back with us.
Happy New Year, Mr. Matt. How are you?
I'm doing great. Happy New Year to
Excellent.
You, too. So what's been going on, man?
Oh, you know, just trying to keep my head above water, keep my head above the crocodators.
Well, let's begin this hour as we do every Saturday afternoon. It would be a disservice to our listeners
Indeed.
To start the show without an appropriate salutation. Is there a toast that we use here? At Ginza, is there something we should say?
That will be our first question.
That'll be our first question of yes. Kurt Vlahos when he joins us a little bit later on in the show to talk sake. But why don't we just say salute.
Cheers.
Good health. Mark, our producer, is here raising a glass as well. Mmm. Kirin Light. So, you know, you have been around the world of craft beers for a long time, but you were just saying before the show started, Kirin Light, not necessarily a craft beer as we're defining it, but you got to do a Japanese
time
beer.
And place, yeah. Time and place, and you don't want those big old heavy IPAs and craft brew. Well, all right, craft IPAs, let's say, because there's some very nice craft pilsners out there that
sure.
are quite tasty.
Yeah,
and that would certainly pair well with a nice roll of spicy tuna or
yeah, for sure.
salmon
for sure.
roll. Yummy, yeah. yummy. But that's what we're going for today, and you don't want. I personally, anyway, you don't want that big, overpowering, hoppy, bitter flavor, at least on my palate, right. with a tasty little sushi roll.
Yeah,
that's
well, this,
for sure.
this is a perfect beer, I think. We always like to get our experience started this way,
mm-hmm.
Before the sun goes down and before the chopsticks start being laid atop yeah. of the pint glass. We'll save that for the sake segment. But anyway, you've been a busy guy the last couple of weeks around town.
It has been quite busy, and around the Southwest, actually. Golly, we've been so Jay Dobbins and I have a movie, a short, out there in the film festival circuit, and we just screened our movie Big Red Friday up in Tempe at the there was a film fest up there,
right.
Film Stock Film Festival
oh, right.
up in Tempe,
right.
which was an absolute blast, and we did quite well up there, actually. We were in the last block of screeners, which meant we were kind of the buzz of the festival.
I can't believe. I mean, I remember talking to you when this was just an idea,
mm-hmm.
just a concept, and now you're already winning awards.
Yeah, it's been great. It's our fourth festival, and we have submitted to some others, and so we're waiting to hear back. We just won an award from La Jolla festival,
nice,
which was nice, and we didn't go to that. We can't go to all these, but we do have to kind of work once in a while. And speaking of, Jay's actually rewriting his script. For his No Angel book, and that is sort of in the early stages of development, and we're hoping to they're still working out financing things, but we think we're getting pretty close on that.
I love it. And you can actually see clips of this movie on your website, right?
Or not? Sort of. Not okay. quite. Because right. we're still dealing with some legal things with music and whatnot.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
so
yeah, yeah.
we can't quite let it out. When you're in the when you're in the film festival circuit, they don't like it when it's out in the public because they want to keep it.
Makes sense.
You know,
but people can still go to LaTierFilms.com.
Oh, absolutely.
To check out your trailers, to check out your demo.
Yeah, the trailer's up there.
Lots of sizzle.
We just did a really cool promotion for one of my local favorite clients, Epic Rides. They're getting ready to launch their – well, they do a series of mountain bike rides every year, mountain bike races and events and stuff. 24 Hours in the Old Pueblo is coming up February 14th, and then they've got a series of off-road races that start. The first one is in Prescott, and they've got one in Grand Junction, Colorado, and another one up in Carson City. So they've got three big races, and so we just finished a promo for them of all cool mountain biking footage and all that kind of cool stuff. And I've just been busy with all kinds of really fun things, actually. A project in Newport Beach, flying aerials and stuff.
Yeah,
that was pretty cool.
I saw some of those clips on your Instagram account, and what brought you out to Newport?
Well, it's just we take a nice little family break out there every between Christmas and New Year's. Just I get together with my sister, and we get the cousins together, and aunts and uncles. We have a really fun time at one of the properties out there, and been working with Crystal Cove Alliance, which is, you know, Crystal Cove is that little space between Newport Beach to the north and Laguna Beach to the south, and there's this nice little preserve and that little sort of that little Crystal Cove area with the old surf shacks and very 1950s, 60s surf vibe right? And so we're working on kind of a little promo kind of thing. We're not sure what we're going to do with it yet and how we want to use it, because it's
spectacular footage, though.
Oh, it's gorgeous.
It really is.
Gosh, that's a piece of California that's, you know, very underdeveloped, and it's gorgeous. It's just sort of the way God made it out there still. It's great.
And that's the way it should be.
Yeah.
Absolutely. We're talking to Scott Letier from Letier Films. He's our celebrity co-host for the full hour in our live broadcast from Ginza Sushi. Again, we're on North Kolb Road, just a little bit south of Sunrise, next to Sierra Fitness. Now, there's been a lot of hustle and bustle in the local beer community, Scott Letier. I mean, where do we even start?
Yeah, I was going to say, do we want to start with the big guys getting bought and sold, or the little guys getting bought and sold?
There's a lot of buying and selling in the craft beer industry these days.
It just goes to show that the whole beer wave is just growing and growing.
Yeah.
People like good beer, and I think the big players are figuring out that they better get in on this, and if they can't make their own good beer, they're going to just buy people that can.
They got to do something to redeem themselves, right?
And what great paydays for some of these players.
Seriously.
You know? So you make good beer, people are going to buy it, and they're going to want it.
You got Ballast Point, you got Breckenridge in Colorado, you've got Four Peaks in Tempe, and Anheuser-Busch InBev. They're just on a buying spree.
Yeah.
You know, some of the questions are, at what point are their sights going to be set on Southern Arizona?
It will be soon, because they will realize what's going on here in the craft scene here, and it's really probably just a matter of volume. Can these guys make enough? And you and I know a lot of them. They're not into it to make lots of beer to feed masses.
That's exactly right.
They cater to us crafties.
Right.
They want to make enough to keep their fans happy.
And that's the spirit.
That's the spirit.
That's exactly right. And then you have Hensley Beverage Company in Phoenix coming down and saying they're going to buy Golden Eagle Distributors, the Anheuser-Busch distributor here, and, of course, representative of a number of great craft labels. That's big news as well.
Absolutely, because now you're taking a bunch of the local players, and like our friend Sarah, Craft Brew Betty, who is going to be part of that, and we're hoping that they don't get rid of their local players that are involved with the local scene, that know the local brewers, that know the local taps, et cetera.
Right.
And hopefully they will come in and do the right thing and keep everybody sort of gelling on this stuff.
I think that's what I'm expecting.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Hensley, obviously a big company, Golden Eagle, a big company, but Golden Eagle has been so much a part of the fabric here in the local beer community, and really so much part of, you know, from a philanthropic perspective, from a service perspective. I mean, Golden Eagle has got a gold starred reputation.
They do.
And I know that Hensley is going to come here and work very hard to preserve what Golden Eagle has done here for decades.
I would think so, because they give back to the community. They're part of the charitable scene in town. A lot of stuff that is in that charity mode, sponsorships, et cetera, wouldn't happen without people like Golden Eagle.
Exactly. Scott Letier from Letier Films, our celebrity co-host. Thanks for hoisting a brew with us.
Oh,
and
indeed.
For helping to steer the sushi sake sashimi ship today for our live broadcast from Ginza Sushi. We're going to take a quick commercial break and thank a couple of sponsors. And when we come back, speaking of beer, there is a Odell Brewing Company beer dinner that's happening up at Noble Hops next week. And
so
Eric Musman himself is going to be joining us right on the other side of this break. You're listening to On the Menu Live on Power Talk 1210. Stick around. We'll be right back.
What are the top three ways to stay current on Tucson's culinary and cocktail scene throughout the week? First, like On the Menu Live on Facebook. Then, follow On the Menu Live on Twitter. And finally, check out On the Menu Live on Instagram. It's On the Menu Live with Matt Russell on Power Talk 1210. Feel the power, baby.
Well, here we are at Acacia Real Food and Cocktails on Skyline and Campbell, and we just ran into Chef Albert Hall. Hey, Chef.
Welcome back to Acacia, Matt. It's always great to see you up here.
So what's cooking?
Well, as you know, our happy hour is always rocking with great food and drink specials every day of the week. And our lunch, dinner, and Sunday brunch menus are ever-changing with fresh, honest, and local ingredients. You know that's what we're all about.
As you say, Chef, real food, real cocktails. That's what keeps me coming back.
Don't forget to check our website regularly for information on upcoming specials, classes, and events.
Yep, acaciatucson.com.
Let's go get a drink, Matt.
I'm in.
Acacia, real food and cocktails on the northeast corner of Skyline and Campbell. Open daily from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m.
Has this ever happened to you? Let's say you're out for happy hour on a Friday night, and after a few cocktails, you and your friends decide to stay for dinner, which includes a couple glasses of wine. And when it's time to go home, you ask yourself, am I really able to drive, or shall I just call a taxi? Well, Arizona's DUI laws are very strict, so driving yourself is just plain stupid. On the other hand, calling a taxi means that you have to find a way back to your car the next day. And we all know how inconvenient that is. The next time you're in this situation, leave the driving to the Entourage Transportation Group. A phone call to Entourage quickly dispatches an electric scooter to your location, and a fully licensed and insured driver neatly folds the scooter up, places it in your trunk, and drives you home in your own car. When you arrive home, the driver simply unpacks the scooter and drives off to the next call. Both you and your car are home safe. Take this number down and keep it handy whenever you go out for drinks and dinner. You'll be glad you did. 909-0100. That's 909-0100.
Hey, all you barbecue pitmasters out there in Arizona. This is Ray Lampe, Dr. Barbecue, and you're listening to On the Menu Live with my pal Matt Russell. It's the most delicious hour on radio.
And welcome back to On the Menu Live. It is Matt Russell broadcasting live deep in the heart of another power happy hour here on Power Talk 1210. We're coming to you live from Ginza Sushi, right up on North Colb Road, just south of Sunrise, next to Sierra Fitness. And people have already started to come in the door a little bit early. They're opening their doors a little bit earlier than they normally do on a Saturday. We are so thankful for Diana Arai and June Arai and all of our heroes here that keep us fed and happy and libated and such. Anyway, come on down. The party's just getting underway. Back with my celebrity co-host for the full hour from Letier Films, Scott Letier, making your way through that Kirin light like a madman.
One of the rare times I'll be diving into a light beer, but
like you said, you know, you're pairing some great beers with some great sushi. This is the greatest place to start.
Indeed it is.
Anyway, talking about pairings, Scott, you're a big fan of Noble Hops.
Yes, indeed.
This great gastropub up there in Oro Valley. And once a month, these guys produce, I think, some of the greatest beer dinners that you can find in Southern Arizona. There's a beer dinner coming up next week, and they're going to be featuring the works of Odell Brewing Company.
One of my all-time faves.
We love Odell, and we love the proprietor from Noble Hops. He's on the phone with us right now, my brother, Eric Musman. Eric, what's going on, man?
Hey, so good to talk to you guys. How are you?
Nice, hey, Eric.
Nice to talk to you. Hey, where are you calling from today, brother?
I am calling from a snowy, ice-covered day in Salt Lake City, where we're actually opening up our fifth concept.
No way.
Isn't that cool?
That's awesome. I guess. Fourth concept.
Eric Musman, can we, our advertisers demand that we do these kinds of things. Are we breaking news right now?
A little bit, yeah.
Good answer.
You know, there's a few people that know, you know, like Matt Russell and some celebrities in town, but it's pretty much been under wraps a little bit. We bought over a bar in downtown Salt Lake City, and it should be opening up hopefully in the next few months.
Very cool. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I do quite a bit of business up in Salt Lake, so I can't wait to go check it out. So congratulations to you and Josh and the whole family. We're excited about your new concept in Salt Lake. But guess what? You guys got a big event coming up on Tuesday, I think, January the 19th, up at Noble Hops.
We do, yeah. I'm going to be stuck here in the cold, but for all you guys that are having better weather, we actually have the Odell Beer Dinner. There's only 10 seats left, last time I checked. So if anybody wants to get on, you're going to have to act fast. Go to our Facebook page, and you can get on there. And we have some really rare beers. One of them, Keg, they sent us of the Odell Freak, which is a very small production sour. As far as we know, it's one of the only kegs in all of Arizona.
Yeah, and that's one of the beers. That's a 6.9% fermented with wild yeast and tart cherries, kind of moving that into the oak barrel. That is a gorgeous beer. And that's what we're talking about, Noble Hops. You guys sit down, Chef Mario sits down with a representative of the brewery. They get together, excellence manifests. They look at the flavor profiles of the beers. They look at the flavor profiles of the dishes, and they really match to bring out the best of both, I think. And that's what I love about those events you guys do up there every month.
Yeah, it's a pretty good job. Get to just sit there and drink beer and go, hey, what would go well with this? What kind of sauce can we make with this? And bring it all together. And, yeah, I mean, it's been great. We've been doing it for a couple years now, every single month. So they're getting really good at matching and pairing and getting some really small production, real special release beers that we get just for these. So it's really quite a treat.
And I love the environment, the atmosphere, because you've got a brewery representative that stands up before each course and talks a little bit about the beer, and then Chef Mario comes out, talks about a little bit about the cuisine. So let's kind of work our way down the list, Eric Musselman. The first course, I see that that we've chosen an Odell Wolf Picker, about 5.5 on the ABV scale, hop character combined with hints of coconut, papaya, and mango with some basil and oregano. This sounds like a gorgeous beer. What is Chef Mario pairing with this one?
Yeah, it's a great beer. It's their seasonal pale ale. It's we're pairing that one with a fresh mozzarella burrata, with heirloom tomatoes, baked artichoke with basil and breadcrumbs over a garlic crostini. So I think we're actually getting the burrata from our sister restaurant, Vero Amore, and doing a nice little pairing with that one.
Oh, I know that's going to be – that's their sister restaurant's just got the best pizza
exactly.
in town.
We just had a 12-top at Vero Amore last night. We introduced some people that have never been to Vero. They're Vero virgins, as it were, and we got to introduce them to the concept. We had a great time.
The pizza dough is just –
it's so good. Gosh. Anyway, the only authentic Neapolitan pizzeria in all of – I want to say the galaxy, but Eric tells me it's just in southern Arizona.
as far as
the whole galaxy
is concerned. Thank you for the kind words. I appreciate that.
Yeah. So course number two, the Odell Runoff Red IPA, 6.5, got complex malt backbone, dry hopped for notes of citrus and pine. What does Chef Mario have up his sleeve for course number two?
Yeah, this beer is probably one of my favorite Odell beers. I love this stuff. He's doing a chicken breast, flash fried in a Korean potato starch, laid over green beans tossed in pancetta and mandarin, and it's drizzled with a ponzu sauce.
Oh, and I love when he drizzles.
Oh.
It's just so much fun. Okay, so we're just getting started. The third course, it's that Odell, what did you call it, the Freak?
Freak, yeah. Very, very limited release. Very small production. And it's a sour, which I personally love sours. I think they're so underrated. So I'm really happy whenever we can get one on and people are trying it out. We're pairing this one with a pistachio-crusted and seared bone-in boar chop, wild boar.
Bone-in boar.
Yeah, and it's rested over a rainbow carrot puree topped with a warm berry compote. So it's going to be really nice, going to bring out a lot of those flavors and that, you know, really go well with that sour.
Yeah, and I think that the flavor profiles of that pistachio crust with the sweetness of those cherries coming out of that sour, I think that's really inspired. The last course, Eric Musselman, is this Odell. Is it the Lugine? What is that?
I think your guess is as good as mine. I think it's Lugine. It's a stout. Really nice. And for the dessert course, we're doing a crisp white meringue filled with whipped cream and fresh fruit. So it'll really play nicely against that. As far as what I can understand, it's like a chocolate stout that they're doing. I haven't had it before, but from what I hear, it's really, really good.
Yeah, they actually brew it with milk, sugar, and milk chocolate. They say the rich and creamy brew reminds them of a cold glass of chocolate milk. Eric Mussman, the Odell Brewing Dinner is happening this Tuesday up at Noble Hops. How can people get tickets now? You said there was only 10 seats left.
No, 8.
Oh, there's 8 now. No, wait, 7. Wait. Oh, 6. No,
left.
There's 5 left.
5 left. It's if you go to our Facebook page, you can either just go to Facebook and type in Noble Hops or Facebook.com/Noble Hops. And you'll see it. The very first link you'll see up there is actually to our Eventbrite. You can buy your tickets right online. You don't have to come to the restaurant. You don't have to do anything. You can do it all from home, sitting around in your underwear.
Well, you know what? There's people here at the restaurant that are busily on their handheld devices now.
They were all on our underwear.
And we're all in our underwear, Eric Mussman. But anyway, Eric Mussman from Noble
Hops. Eating sushi in your underwear.
Anyway.
Is about as good as life.
Don't knock it till you try it.
That's right. Congratulations for your big project up in Salt Lake City. Now I want you to hurry home because your fans are waiting for you to come back. But anyway, love to the whole Mussman family, and we will be seeing a lot of your fans out on Tuesday at Noble Hops for the Odell Dinner.
Thank you so much. It's always such a pleasure to talk to you, and my love right back to you and your family as well.
Thanks so much. Eric Mussman from Noble Hops, one of the good guys in this community. We're going to take another quick commercial break and thank a couple of sponsors. And when we come back, Mr. Sake himself. Now I've made him blush, actually. Blush the color of a nice rosé. Kurt Vlahos is in the house. He's going to be breaking down sake in wonderful ways. A little sake 101, perhaps, live from our broadcast from Ginza Sushi. We're going to take a break. We're going to be right back. Stick around.
Hey there, fellow foodies. Matt Russell here, and I say that nothing makes a culinary and cocktail experience more legendary than a premium cigar. And Jerry's Cigars has everything for the Tucson cigar enthusiast. With more than 70,000 cigars in stock, Jerry's has a cigar for every taste and size, including rare and hard-to-find cigars, alongside an impressive showcase of lighters and cutters, humidors, and other accessories. Swing by Jerry's for some sticks to go, or fire one up in the climate-controlled comfort of Jerry's Cigar Lounge. Jerry's Cigars, the official tobacconist of On the Menu Live. Come see him today at 4433 North 1st Avenue, just north of Wetmore Road. Or give them a call at 887-7778. That's 887-7778.
How's it going, Tucson? Jeff Morrow here from the Sandwich King on the Food Network. Thanks for listening to On the Menu Live with my buddy Matt Russell.
And welcome back, fellow foodies. It's Matt Russell broadcasting live from the epicenter of deliciousness here at Ginza Sushi on Cole Road, just south of Sunrise. Look for Sierra Fitness. We are right next door. People are coming in. They really don't want to hear me talk. They want to hear a guest talk and our celebrity co-host talk. Anyway, Scott Letier, how many tickets have you bought for the Noble Hops beer dinner?
Two so far, but I've got texts out to two of my buds going, hey, we better move on this.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
Odell is one of my go-to beers, man.
Great beers.
Their Mercenary is just...
That's about a 10.1%. As you say...
Are you judging me?
No haters. Anyway, well, there's certainly no surprise. Whenever you're at Ginza, the conversation somehow always leads to sake. And here to help us understand the very impressive, might say bold sake menu here at Ginza Sushi in his On the Menu Live debut, Kurt Vlahos is here. How you doing, Kurt?
Good. Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule and all of your sake-dom to help us understand really what is sort of the glue that holds everything together here at Ginza, because you don't come here at a Ginza and not start with a sake.
That's very true.
Now, is that where most people start?
Either sake or beer. We have Sapporo on draft and everything from Kirin to Asahi, but most people come in for the sake.
One of the things that I love about the program here, Kurt, is it's not just about sort of the conventional hot sake with your meal. We're going to talk a little bit about that.
Correct.
But you and your team here helped to inspire me a couple of years ago about the world of sake that I didn't know. I mean, I thought one or two sakes on the menu. I mean, I've lost count how many you have here now. I mean, this is a legit. It's almost like a wine list.
Yeah. So. Whenever I go to other restaurants, other sushi restaurants, try them out, see how they are, I try sake, and they only have a couple of selections, and I'm usually with college students that are trying sake bombs, and they'll have a couple of beers, one sake, but What I really like about Ginza is we prefer the cold sake, and we have a larger selection of it, and everything from sweet to dry, sort of a crisp taste to a smooth.
And I love that because I was only a hot sake guy until I came to Ginza. True story. And it was, I don't know, maybe 5 or 6 years ago. And I frankly never even knew that there was such a thing as cold sake. Now, is cold sort of trending here at Ginza?
Yes, I would definitely say it is. With the cold sake, you can kind of get more of a taste out of it, which is more flavorful.
Right.
And it kind of pairs well better with the food. So when we're doing spicier foods at the restaurant,
whether it's
jalapenos and dishes, or you're adding a little sriracha to your or wasabi to your sushi, we have the sweeter sakes that will kind of offset that. Whereas if you're doing just sushi or sashimi by itself, we'll go with a drier sake and it'll complement it more.
So is that the sake that's in the box? Do you have the sake in the box kind of traditional? Is that
yeah, that was like a wooden box.
Definitely.
And you serve that here in the traditional way?
We do. Usually we serve it with glasses, but when we have preferred customers, people who come in more often.
That would be me, Scott, just in case you're questioning the validity of his statement. When Matt Russell comes in, they bring out the box.
I'll have you know.
Yeah, and we even have customers who come in so often that they have boxes with their own names on them.
Oh, you're kidding.
And so every time they come in, they get the same box.
Now you got to buy a box? You have to buy a box? Is there a box with my name on it, Kurt Vlahos? Will you please put my name on a box?
If you come in more, you might get one.
Now, one of my servers a few years ago told me that it's traditional to actually pour the sake in the box and almost do a little bit of an over-pour.
Correct.
Is that true?
Yes, it's very true.
What's the story behind that?
You know, I'm not actually sure. I'm just new into sake, and working in the restaurant's helping me learn it, but I don't know why. I've just seen it done that way.
Now, do people actually stop you and say, what are you doing? And you sort of explain that that's the tradition of the spirit, to actually have a little overflow. The way I like to think of it is the love overflows here at Ginza. The service overflows. And when you're thinking about Diana Adai and June Adai, two people that are committed to customer service, everything just is in abundance. And that sake is overflowing, it's cascading, and that's a kind of a manifestation of the experience that you get here at Ginza. I'm just saying.
That sounds like a perfect metaphor to me.
I'm just saying. So you've got this sake menu, and there's some digits, and there's pluses and minuses, and it's taking me back to my algebra time.
There's math in this?
What does this all
mean?
Yeah,
so for the newcomers who are coming into the restaurant, alongside of the sake and the list, we have a number menu. And the lower the number, the sweeter it's going to be. The higher the number, the drier it is. And so if you're coming in and you've had a sake and you remember similar to what the taste was, but you didn't know the name, the Japanese was too much for you, we sort of have a way of scaling whether you want it drier, sweeter, something in between. And I actually have a couple of sakes here with me for you guys to try.
Imagine that. You see, this is the experience that you get at Ginza.
The price we have to pay, the sacrifice we have to make.
So what do we got here, Kurt?
Okay, so this is the Suijin, which is a Junmai sake. And the Junmai means that there's no additional alcohol added and that about 30% of the rice is shaved off. All rice begins as brown rice, and then they polish it to get down to the white.
All rice begins as brown rice.
I did not know that.
That's new for me.
Yeah, and so they sort of polish it off, get down to the white, and then from those different polishings come different grades of sake.
Beautiful. So which one are we going to be trying now? This is the
Suijin, which is going to be a drier sake.
Okay. Suijin, Scott. This is a dry. So,
and this would pair well with?
With sushi, sashimi. It's got a very crisp rice taste to it, and
crisp
it's very
rice.
Smooth. And so it sort of goes best with sashimi, which is missing the rice. It kind of complements that the best. But
right. Just by smelling it, I can tell.
Yep.
A nice piece of yellowtail.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would go perfect with it.
Kurt, is there a traditional toast or salutation or cheer that
kanpai.
We... Kanpai.
Kanpai.
Okay, Scott, kanpai. Let's give it a shot here.
Oh, that is remarkable.
Great mouthfeel. I love what happens on the palate with that. Just crisp.
The rice is right there.
And alive. And the rice is. It's a rice-centric, rice-forward kind of a wine. And sake is wine, Kurt, right?
It is.
So you approach it like a wine.
You do.
A little swirl, a little nose. And you brought another one for us to try, kind of on the opposite side of the spectrum?
Correct. So this is going to be the Nigori Sayuri. And this is going to be an unfiltered sake, which means when they do the polishing, they're shaving off the rice. When they're brewing the sake, the rice wine, they leave the polishings in it, even though it's not attached to the rice. And so it gives it the sort of cloudy texture to it.
Oh, I love that.
And so with this, it's going to be a sweeter sake, but so you got to make sure you're shaking it.
He's rotating the bottle. It's like dinner and a show here with Kurt Vlahos.
Which, of course, you would not do with the unfiltered IPA, for example.
Yes, you would not want to do that.
Pour that gently.
Now, look at this. Now, this almost
Oh, my goodness, look at that.
It looks like almost like coconut milk.
You know what?
Yeah, it sort of does.
Hold that up, Mr. Matt. We're going to put that on the Instagrams right away so everyone sees that.
Great. And let's give that a shot here.
And so this is going to be a sweeter sake, which would pair more with
spicy food. Mm. Yeah, you can smell that
on the nose
right there. That would, definitely like a spicy salmon.
Yeah,
with,
it's perfect with spicy salmon.
Yeah, can you
smell
that? Yeah.
There it is. Anyway, so we've really gone from the left side of the spectrum to the right, from the sweet to the dry, and you have sakis representing everything along that spectrum.
Yes.
Absolutely beautiful. Well, the time has come. We're going to take a quick commercial break, but you're not going anywhere. We're just going to continue our conversation about sake and then dive right in to the cuisine, which is the thing here at Ginza that gets everybody all excited. We are coming to you live from Ginza Sushi on Cole Road, just south of Sunrise, right next to Sierra Fitness. And we are going to continue our conversation with Kurt Vlahos on The Menu Live on Power Talk 1210. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Why such a loud slurp, my friend?
Well, I read on a recent article on TucsonFoodie.com 8 spots for Japanese ramen in Tucson that is customary.
What? No way.
Way. Not only that, but I found a great Tucson Foodie article about some of the best Tucson hotspots for happy hour, a guide to the growing number of restaurants in downtown Tucson, a roundup of killer spots for burgers, and a number of new restaurants to check out. Tucson Foodie also just won a Best of Award from the Tucson Weekly's 2014 competition.
That's insane.
What? That they won an award?
No, that slurping ramen is customary. I'm going to have to check out Tucson Foodie to see for myself. Where can I find it?
They're all over. Check them out on the web at TucsonFoodie.com, Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, Instagram, and Tumblr. They also have a great weekly email newsletter, which you can sign up for at TucsonFoodie.com. Just look for the bright red logo.
I'm on it.
Great. Now, excuse me, I have a bowl of ramen to finish.
If you didn't know that Acacia has one of the best happy hours in the West, you've been missing out on a great experience. Our bar menu features a wide selection of shareable small plates, creative cocktails, extensive beer and wine, as well as daily specials every night of the week. Kick back, unwind, and join us at Acacia, where great food at great value is always on tap. Acacia, real food and cocktails. Visit us online at acaciatucson.com.
And welcome back to On the Menu Live. It is Matt Russell broadcasting live from Ginza Sushi. Again, North Kolb on South of Sunrise. Next is here at Fitness, yucking it up with some sakes with my honorable co-host, Scott Letier from Letier Films. This is like an educational experience.
I love these radio shows where you get to learn something, enjoy something, see stuff. Now we're going to be able to taste some new yummy sushis.
We absolutely are. And you know what? We've seen a lot of celebrities come in and out of this restaurant. There's a celebrity sitting in the back. I see him. He probably wants to go unnoticed, but it's Dino Chonis and Sheila Chonis are here from Tino's Pizza on Tancredi. We actually did our show there last Saturday.
Yep.
You bet it's Dino's Pizza, Scott?
Oh, man.
I mean, it's an iconic place. They've been celebrating more than 30 years in this community, and I love the fact that Dino's up here having some sushi. It's not all about Tino's, or, you know, pizza for
last
Dino.
Last week it was.
You know, last week it was. But he is a lovely wife. We're yucking it up there with June behind the sushi bar. We love the Chonis family. Their hospitality is absolutely boundless. Anyway, we are back here with our man of the hour. He is Kurt Vlahos, talking a little bit about sake, and we just love the stories that you told to go from dry to sweet. You have everything in between. We talked cold sake. Let's talk a little bit about hot, because that's where my sake experience started, with hot sake, and it's traditional to serve the hot sake with a big beer. Is that right?
It is. So we only have a couple of hot sakes in the restaurant. We have the Kosho, which is going to be our house, and then the Haikai-san. The Haikai-san is going to be a little more expensive and a little drier, a little more refined. The rice is going to be a little higher quality. But usually when people come in the wintertime, they'll want a cold beer. They'll want a nice large mug or a large Sapporo, but they want a little sake to go with it. And it's cold outside. They want something to warm them up. So
just hugs the tummy.
Yeah.
It really, really does. I love hot sake. Now, you mentioned in passing, and I'm going to bring you right back to it, sake bombers. Now, is the atmosphere here at Ginza refined in a way where a sake bomber might perhaps be, you know, not looked on favorably? Or are there customers of yours that will enjoy a sake bomber?
We have customers who come in and ask for sake bombs, and we can definitely cater to their needs. We can bring them a certain sake that would go with their beer, and we definitely have options for them. But no, this restaurant's more of a sophisticated hanging out with there your family, other, your friends,
exactly.
your coworkers.
There are other places to carry on in that sophomoric fashion with chopsticks and all that other stuff. You know, not the kind of atmosphere that we're looking
Correct.
To create.
Not
here
really
at Ginza.
The college crowd.
Not really
here.
The college crowd. Exactly. Well, come on here to Ginza. Start with a sake. Get to know Kurt and his team here. You know, server extraordinaire. You know, wind your way through some of the great Japanese beers you have here, and then it's all about the cuisine, though, Kurt.
Yes, I mean, it is.
And before we talk about the sushi and sashimi, there is something called izakaya.
Correct.
You are almost Tucson's home, Tucson's promise to the izakaya concept of dining. Help our listeners understand what izakaya is all about.
Well, for newcomers to the restaurant, we actually have izakaya defined on the front of our menu. But in simple terms, the idea is coming in with your friends, your family, coworkers, whoever you want. And instead of ordering more of a personal-sized dish, getting a bunch of small appetizers, a bunch of big plates of sushi, and sharing everything with the people you're with.
So is it almost like, you know, we've heard the word tapas in sort of Mexican-Italian kinds of cuisine, small plates, shareables. Is the izakaya style the Japanese answer to tapas?
It is. And, in fact, on the menu when we define it, we actually use the word tapas.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's what it is.
Very
small
comparable.
Plates. Give everybody around the table. And when you think about it, Ginza is about an expression of love. And it's about an expression of family and community. So you don't, like you say, you don't want to order one entree and build a wall around yourself. It's all about sharing and camaraderie. So order several small plates, spin it around a little bit, get everybody all excited, talk about things, share things. And that's why whenever you come into Ginza, I mean, the conversation is always so robust.
Yeah. And we definitely do have personal items for people who are coming in by themselves or do like the secluded feel. One of my favorites is a spicy ramen. I usually get it on Saturdays during lunchtime.
Nice.
But the main sort of thing that people will do when they come here is we have a couple of different boats. They vary from a boat with five rolls on it to a boat that's got a nice mixture of sushi and sashimi. And it's nice because it's a big plate, has anywhere from 35 to 50 pieces of sushi on it, and it's great for sharing with multiple people.
That's what we love to do. Now, when you say boat...
Yes.
You're talking about
an actual wooden boat.
It's an actual boat that sets sail for your table, you know, which is just, you know, populated with every kind of thing that you can imagine. And you have different boats, different cruises on the menu, right?
Yes, we do. And we have a couple different sized boats. There's four on the menu. And then also people will order a lot of food by themselves. We'll do an a la carte sushi list and they'll fill out. Maybe they'll have five rolls and a bunch of sushi and sashimi with it. And it's too big to put on a plate, so we'll put that on a boat as well.
Exactly. Now, for the novices out there who might not understand the whole sushi vocabulary, there is sushi, there is sashimi, there's nigiri. Help us understand what all of those terms mean when you come here into Ginza.
Okay, so both nigiri and sashimi are forms of sushi, where nigiri is going to be served over rice, and it has a little bit of wasabi to help the fish stick to the rice. And then sashimi is just going to be the thinly cut fish.
And so the and people that are adopting kind of a low-carb, you know, dietary lifestyle, the sashimi is lovely because there's no rice.
Correct.
So these are all just the fillets of fish.
Correct.
And that's what I've done from time to time is get a big plate of sashimi and just go to town, work myself around the plate like a clock.
Indeed, with a little bit of the little bit of the green stuff, a little bit of the soy stuff.
Yes.
And,
yes.
And I see we've got extra accoutrements on there. It looks like a little piece of olive or some other things on there. I've not seen these necessarily on a piece of sashimi before. So what are these flavors we're about to
So we've got a five-piece sampler of sushi. So starting on the end, we have the bluefin toro, which is going to be the fatty tuna, the hamachi toro, which is the fatty yellowtail, the aji, which is the Spanish mackerel, and it's got a little bit of a green onion, some ponzu, and a little bit of a pickled ginger on top of it. The black snapper, which is personally one of my favorites, it's served over a shiso leaf, which is kind of similar to a Japanese mint, and then has a little bit of a lemon and a sea salt on top of it. And then an abori salmon toro, which the abori is going to be lightly seared, sort of like a tataki. and then it has a little bit of a ginger on top of that as well.
I mean, this is like it's like going to a five-star restaurant, hearing Kurt talk about the nigiri. So, you know, when I grew up, nigiri was it was tuna on rice.
Yeah.
And to hear the talk about the way that these all come together with different flavor profiles. Now, this one here is which one was the first one that you talked
about? The bluefin toro, which is the fatty tuna.
That sounds delicious, doesn't it?
I mean, okay. Well, I've got some more questions to ask before we dive into our tasting segment, but I mean, I'm showing remarkable restraint here.
Yes, you are. There's still sashimi on the plate here. So,
now one of the things I love about your Facebook page, you got a large and growing Facebook community.
We do.
You always kind of have a gallery of what's going on here at Ginza, and there is like a roll of the month.
We do. So it's actually named the Facebook page or the Facebook roll off of our Facebook page, and what it is it's a chef's choice roll that changes every month, and usually it's around anywhere from $9.95 to $13.95, and it's sort of whatever's fresh, whatever sort of fits the holiday. So around Valentine's Day, our Facebook roll is in the shape of a heart, and it's got pink soy wrap paper on it. And
you know, I would almost say that sweet sake that we had, the second sake
the
that we had,
sayuri, yeah.
That would be a great Valentine's Day sake.
It would.
I mean, just the way it looks, the way it feels, the way it acts.
Nice and sweet, too.
I mean, it was almost a romantic experience for me, Kurt.
And
I'm not ashamed to admit it. I'm not ashamed to admit it at all. We talked about sushi and sashimi, but the rolls here are really helping to drive this business as well.
They
and one
are.
Of the things I love about Ginza is these sort of wild, crazy concoctions of rolls. It's not just about the spicy tuna anymore.
Correct. So we have a bunch of specialty rolls. We mix anything from uni, which is sea urchin, unagi, which is freshwater eel, and we just have a whole complex menu of special rolls, and we also do custom rolls. We have a couple of customers who come in quite often, and they've sort of developed their own rolls from ordering it handmade time after time, and we have customers who come in and they order other people's rolls.
Okay, now, you and I have known each other, and I've seen you here all the time. We've actually never had the chance to talk.
Mm-hmm.
So you've known me now for about 15 minutes.
Correct.
If you were going to craft a roll named after me, what would you put in that roll? What would be the central flavors, the central ingredients in the roll that would have my name?
I would do hamachi toro, which is going to be the fatty yellowtail.
It's very, beautiful.
Very delicious. A little bit of the shiso, which is also on the black snapper. It's a sort of minty taste to it.
Oh, nice.
The cucumber.
I would
say some avocado as well.
Oh,
and he
knows me.
A little bit of masago, which are going to be the flying fish eggs.
The flying fish, the small.
Yeah, the really small orange ones.
Not the ikura, which are the big boys, but that's just gorgeous. Now, I would expect to see that roll on the chalkboard there. I'll give you 24 hours. Tell June to get busy.
So I will.
Is there one show-stopping roll here that just attracts the crowds, that you know that if you ever took off the menu, there would be a revolt out in the courtyard outside?
Well, we actually have a couple of them on the back of our menu, and they're named after Diana and June's two sons, Joe and Hiroshi. And so both of them are going to be a shrimp tempura. The Joe roll has the shrimp tempura inside, the cream cheese, avocado, and then it's topped with even more shrimp. Which is kind of ironic because June is actually allergic to shrimp.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And so I kind of figured that his boys like the shrimp so much because they weren't really allowed to have it growing up. And then the Hiroshi special also has the shrimp tempura inside, the cucumber, avocado, minjinko, and masago.
Just beautiful.
I'm just looking at it thinking, oh, gosh, could I have one of everything?
And one of the things I love about this menu is it's like a photo album. So you know what you're getting when you order. There's actually some imagery. Scott will
appreciate
this.
Yeah, it's good imagery.
As an award-winning film. Yeah, and you know what? And there are, and let's just be honest, sometimes there are pictures posted either on Facebook or on menus that aren't particularly appetizing, not a great representation of what you're going to experience. I mean, these are beautiful, bold, colorful shots that are
on the menu.
Yeah, very nice.
So so those are the two rolls. Now, is the Menino roll still on the menu? The Menino roll? So that goes back, you know, several years.
The Merino Menino?
The Merino.
Merino. That's actually one of my favorites.
Oh, yeah.
That's what we always order. Okay, yes. So the Merino. And then what about, is the Sonoran roll still on the menu? That's got a little bit of that jalapeno.
Yeah, a little spicy
bit
touch
of that
to it.
Which one of those sweeter sakes, as you said,
correct,
would pair beautifully.
That.
Right, okay. So we want to remind all of our listeners that Kurt Vlahos and Diana and June Adai here are going to provide the opportunity for one of you to experience Ginza for yourselves. We're going to be doing a trivia question here a little bit later on in the show, and the first person to send us an email with the correct answer is going to get a gift certificate to experience Ginza for themselves. This is always one of the fun times on the show because people start guessing all kinds of crazy things. I don't know if you've thought about a question, but we'll have a few minutes to decide what that's going to be. But we're sitting here staring down a tray of sushi, Scott, or nigiri, as it were. These are nigiri,
correct?
Fillets of fish that are lovingly adorned across the tops of these rice beds, with some beautiful wasabi here. Now, I always like, and I don't know if this violates protocol or if this is a traditional thing in Japan, but I always like to take a little bit of the low sodium soy sauce. Thank you for having the green label. I always like to take a little bit of that low sodium soy, and I like to take a little bit of that wasabi, and I like to just mix a little bit of the wasabi into the soy sauce.
That's perfectly fine.
Perfectly fine here. Okay, great. So that's what I'm going to do. Scott, have you had a chance to – are you a spicy guy, Scott?
I am indeed. I was just sort of waiting until I dive in and eat all these. And
what I recommend is the bluefin toro and the hamachi toro being simply just the fish over rice. They're perfectly fine with the soy sauce and the wasabi. But all of the other types of fish have their own sort of garnishes on top of them. And so – you can eat them with soy sauce, but it sort of drowns out the flavor a little bit. So those are better by themselves.
You know, that was going to be my big question is that, all right, in your world, and because you see sometimes you'll go into, a sushi place sometimes, you see the guy sitting there just pouring cup after cup of soy sauce and dunking everything in the soy sauce.
No.
These don't look like they require such things. There's flavor sitting right there. You can see it.
Yeah, and I never would have known that. So it's almost like, you know, June sort of looking out across the sushi bar at somebody that is putting this. What's this one right here?
The aji, the Spanish
mackerel. The aji. Please don't put the aji in the soy, for crying out loud.
No.
You know, have some respect for the traditions of the craft. Okay, sorry.
No, I mean, seriously, you go in and order a nice steak at a nice steak place, and you got a nice piece of prime, and the guy, excuse me, I have the ketchup, please.
The ketchup, right, or the A1.
Yes, exactly.
Please. Okay, so let's do this.
All right.
Now, I've heard that it would not violate protocol if you were to actually pick up the nigiri with your hands.
Correct.
Okay, so that's what I'm going to do. And I've also heard when I was over at Nobu in Santa Monica that some people actually eat sushi, the nigiri, upside down.
Yeah.
With the fish on the bottom and the rice on the top. Now, Deanna is nodding aggressively, so I'm not embarrassing myself. I don't look like a beginner when I'm doing this, right?
Well, when you dip it right side up, the rice will hit the soy sauce, and that'll sort of make it disintegrate and separate. But when you're dipping the soy sauce in the fish, that's how you complement it the best.
Yeah.
And so whoever told you that was perfectly right, turn it upside down, dip the fish in the soy sauce, and eat it straight up.
That's what I'm going to do. Now, you've had the fatty.
Yeah, I went in and dove right in and tried mine so I could sort of speak over you enjoying yours.
While I'm talking, while I'm eating. Go ahead,
talk
about it.
And that fatty tuna is so delicious.
It's very fresh.
And the rice is, of course, perfect, so it's not too...
Oh, my gosh.
In an Italian restaurant, you don't want your pasta to be too mushy, al dente.
Right.
Right? And the rice,
great call,
right? And the rice should not be too squishy, right?
Right. You want to have a little bit of a little bit of resistance,
there,
a little texture.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm gonna actually now that Kurt Vlaho says that it's okay, I'm actually gonna start doing it this way because I think you're right. Now this is the toro.
Yeah, the fatty tuna.
It's
okay.
Good, isn't it?
It's just beautifully rich. There's a decadence to it almost. It's got a great mouthfeel. It's just beautifully oily, and it's just, I mean, another thing that just sort of hugs you inside.
It feels like that's your dessert tuna. Yum, yum.
Now, what would be a great beverage to, like, on the sake spectrum, when you're thinking about the richness of that fatty tuna, what's your call on that?
I would definitely go with a drier sake.
The drier sake,
yeah.
The one we tried first one.
As a matter of fact, I just took a little sip after that went down, and it's just perfect.
You can taste freshness, that flavor, right? I mean, it's just beautiful. It's warming, and it lingers a little bit. It almost
it does.
It sort of stays on your palate. Now, our producer Mark is pouring me some more dry sake.
Well, as a good producer we're running a little low.
You know what? We might, Mark may get to eat today. I'm gonna have one more bite of the nigiri. So I've tried the fatty tuna, the toro, but I want to try a little bit of one of the selections that actually is adorned with some condiment almost.
I've been looking at that.
Yeah,
I would
Spanish.
Do the black snapper.
Okay, which one is that one?
The one with the shiso leaf, the sea salt, and the lemon juice
one here.
On it.
Okay, this one right here.
Yes.
Okay.
All right, diving
so
in.
What are we going to experience on this one, Kurt?
A little bit of saltiness to it. It's going to be a little tart, but very smooth, a little tangy.
Mm.
That is a flavor I've never had before. Mm. Isn't that remarkable? The mint.
Boy, the mint.
The tang.
The brightness of that mint.
Yeah.
Just it's a beautiful wake-up here.
It brings out a little more flavor of the fish.
Fresh and
with
bright.
With the salt.
Mm. That's salt. That salt and the brightness of that mint really work together beautifully on this. Now, I just want to play to this.
All right, I'm done. That's just, I was speechless there for a minute and just enjoying it there, Matt. Sorry.
Now,
but
that's okay. I asked you a question while your mouth was full. This is a sushi combo then, right?
Correct.
So it's a little bit of everything from light and delicate to full and fatty and robust and everything in between. This is the combo has got to be a place where you would start somebody if they really have not experienced the wonder of sushi, to try a little bit of everything, because there's really a lot of flavor profiles that are happening on this plate.
Correct, and there's even a term for that. We call it omakase, but omakase is the chef's choice, and so someone can come in and order that and sort of set a price range for how much they're looking to spend, and then the chef will pick whatever's freshest, whatever's on our specials, and make them a plate of sort of complex flavors rather than, you know, two spicy tuna rolls.
Beautiful. All right, so the time has come to see if one of our listeners wants to have a shot at getting a Ginza gift card to experience Ginza for themselves. Then we're going to come back and wrap up with this lovely dish that you brought us. Again, an example of this whole izakaya concept. Small plates, share the abundance. The love that June and Diana and I have produced here at Ginza is about sharing. It's about celebration. It's about cascading. It's overflow, as we talked about on that cold sake. But have you given some thought as to what a fun trivia question would be to ask our listeners today?
I have. I don't think this one's too difficult. I think I might have actually mentioned a clue for it earlier in the show.
Oh, great.
But my question for the viewers is, what is toro? What does the toro mean?
Oh, great. Great question.
That is a good question.
Okay, perfect. Now we got a lot of people here getting ready with their devices here. Okay, we just want to know, what is toro? If you think you know the answer to the question right now, send us an email. It's onthemenulive@gmail.com. Again, onthemenulive@gmail.com. And the first person to send us an email with the right answer is going to get a gift card to experience Ginza and June and Diana and Kurt for themselves. Anyway, we're going to take a quick commercial break and thank a couple more of our valued sponsors. And when we come back, we're going to close it out with Kurt Vlahos with some lovely dining and drinking here from Ginza Sushi on North Colb Road, just south the Sunrise. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Hey, fellow foodies, it's a brand new year, and I'm throwing down a challenge. The time has come for each and every one of you to do what I did years ago and liberate your pantries once and for all from those old jugs of oil and vinegar that you got from the big box grocery store. I'm Matt Russell, and I say enough is enough. It's time to make a fresh start for your family's health and choose only the freshest extra virgin olive oil and specially aged balsamic vinegars that can only be found at Alfonso Gourmet Olive Oil and Balsamics. Take it from the palate of a pro. Tom Alfonso is one of only a handful of certified olive oil tasters in the country, and his highly trained staff is ready to show you what you've been missing by pouring you some free samples today. Enjoy single varietal, fused, and infused olive oils, along with suggestions for pairing them with the perfect balsamic vinegars. Stop in today at one of their two convenient locations, on the southeast corner of River and Campbell in St. Philip's Plaza, and on the southeast corner of Oracle and McGee in Plaza Escondida. Or check them out online at alfonsooliveoil.com. On behalf of Tom and Nancy Alfonso, here's to your health and happiness all year long.
If you enjoy craft beer like I do, you want consistency, innovation, and passion to go into each and every beer that you drink. And Barrio Brewing Company, Arizona's oldest brewery, puts all three into each beer it produces. And they've been handcrafting fine beers for Tucson and Arizona for nearly 25 years. Barrio Brewing serves up a spectacular lineup of 12 standard and seasonal brews, including Barrio Blonde.
the oldest continuously brewed beer in all of Arizona. Barrio also turns out specialty beers each month, like its new Simpatico Stout, a rich blend of Euro espresso roasted coffee, low-fat cocoa, flaked oats, and milk sugars to give you just the right balance of sweetness and a full, creamy mouthfeel with every sip. Stop by Barrio Brewing Company at the corner of 16th Street and Tool Avenue, just southeast of downtown, to enjoy some of Arizona's most innovative and delicious brews. Or look for them at your local grocer or your favorite dining and drinking establishments across town. Learn more today at BarrioBrewing.com.
And welcome back to On the Menu Live. We are broadcasting live from Ginza Sushi on North Colb Road, just south of Sunrise. Next to Sierra Fitness here with our celebrity co-host from Latier Films, Sushi Sophisticates. Say that three times fast. Scott Latier.
Mr. Matt, you know, the things that go on a radio show behind the scenes during the commercial breaks, should we let the audience know of the...
of what's happening.
The mystery bottle that was just opened.
Well, I do want to say that we've had several guesses to the question, but we do not yet have the right answer. So, again, the question is, when we're talking about Toro here at Ginza, Toro means something. Now, we don't necessarily, I'm going to give a little hint, we don't necessarily want to know the actual definition of Toro. We want to know what Toro means here when it comes to the plate. When you're talking to Kurt Vlahos, when you're talking about, like, tuna, for example.
Yeah.
There's a tuna, and then there's a tuna Toro.
Correct.
And so we want to know the difference there. When you say Toro, what does that mean? On the menu live at gmail.com. Again, on the menu live at gmail.com. So before we go into our last dish here of the hour, you actually have snuck in another sake.
I have.
And I love it when you sneak, Kurt Vlahos. What's going on here?
Okay, so this is going to be a Junmai Dai Ginjo, which the Ginjo means that there's added alcohol to it. But if the you see,
oh perfect.
But if you see Junmai,
twist my arm, right?
If you see Junmai and Ginjo together, it means that there's going to be 40% of the rice polished off, but there's no alcohol added.
Hmm.
And then the dye added in there means it's an increased quality. So being a Junmai Dai Ginjo, this is going to be sort of a medium between being too sweet and too dry. It's going to be a nice quality. It's just the rice.
Beautiful.
The water.
That means that equals too awesome.
How do you say too awesome in Japanese?
You know, I don't know. I'm studying Japanese, but I haven't
got
that far yet.
You're studying Japanese?
I am, at the U of A.
Okay. Domo arigato.
Do tashimashita.
That's all I know. Or I say hi, right?
Hi.
Okay, so now you brought this over to us in a shot glass. I'm not going to shoot the sake, Kurt. That's probably not the intention because this is a premium
correct
sake here. So we want to respect the sake, Scott. We want to honor the sake.
Yeah, you want to drop it in a big glass. I'm just kidding.
No, I mean like you were saying earlier, sake is a wine, so you want to swirl it around a little bit, sniff it, get a good feel for
exactly
it.
Exactly. So let's try this one, Scott. Oh boy, right on the nose again.
Oh my goodness gracious!
Foundationally
yes
different than for the two that we've tried.
There's a nice fruitiness to that one, right?
Mm. Oh, beautifully floral.
Right there on the nose.
You're right.
Is, yeah.
You know your sakes. Thank you so much for
of
sharing.
Course.
Again, this is just beautiful. Again, the sake spectrum is wide here at Ginza. Anyway, we've got a couple more minutes before we unfortunately have to say goodbye. And how do you say goodbye in Japanese?
Sayonara.
Sayonara, of course. This is the izakaya style of dining here. What have you brought out for us to try?
Okay, so this is a fried baby octopus. They're going to be plump little octopodes, and then we deep fry.
Wait a minute.
Plump little octopodes.
You can't just say that and move on.
Octopode
fried
is
fried little octopodes.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
So we do anything from a fried octopus to a soft shell crab. We have tempuras, steamed dumplings, fried homemade dumplings. Sort of smaller dishes that are meant to share.
Okay, and here's a great example. Now, I'm going to use my chopsticks. I know I use my fingers on the nigiri. Probably don't want to use my fingers on the izakaya
no
dish. Okay, so here I am. This is my first octopode.
No
I mean, I'm actually celebrating. This is a remarkable milestone on this show. I've never had, well, I probably have had it, but I've never called it an octopode. A little aioli there, Kurt, to dip it in, or what is this here?
It's a little spicy mayonnaise.
A little spicy mayonnaise. Okay, so
a traditional Japanese.
All right, here I'm going in.
Dive in. The look on Mr. Matt's face is remarkable.
Oh my goodness!
It's a tasty little octopode, isn't it?
And you just can't get good octopode these days.
You can't. That's the thing.
You know what I love about this dish here?
is the differences in textures.
Yeah.
So you got the pop on that very light coating. This is not like a deep fried huge, you know, light coating. You got a little bit of resistance in that octopode, and you got the creaminess of that aioli, that spicy mayo. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot going on texturally inside. Just beautifully delicious. Anyway, Kurt Vlahos, you have represented Izakaya unlike any other. He's taught us a little thing about sake. We've talked about sushi and sashimi and all of the wonderful things that are awaiting you here at Ginza Sushi. I thank you and Diana and June and all of your team for everything you do.
Thank you very much.
Thanks so much. And Scott Letier?
My mouth is full of octopode.
His mouth is full of octopode. Anyway, Scott Letier from Letier Films, thank you so much for hanging out with us. Thanks to all of our groupies that have shown up here today to help us broadcast live from Ginza Sushi. We want to remind all of our listeners, if you're not getting our weekly email newsletter, you need to go onto onthemenulive.com, sign up. We tell you where we're going to be broadcasting from, who our guests are going to be, what kind of specials they're going to be. So go on to onthemenulive.com, sign up for the email. And also, if you missed any part of this show whatsoever, the entire show is going to be posted to our website, onthemenulive.com, early next week.
And podcast.
And it's also available on the iTunes store as a free download. Mm-hmm. And you can listen to us all over the world. We have listeners in 25 states and counting. We had one chef in Sydney, Australia, that told me once that he's never missed a show. Everyone loves the culinary
and cocktail
conversation.
We should say hi to him.
How do you say hello in Australian? Hello.
Hello in Australia.
Good day, mate.
Anyway, check us out on themenulive.com. In the meantime, it's Matt Russell and Scott Letier reminding you, if it's Saturday from 4 to 5,
it's on the Menu Live.
Cheers. We'll see you at Ginza.
Broadcasting live from the Tucson Original Studios. This is KEVT Salida Tucson, the Tucson Originals, local dining at its best.